On today's show, actually today's Mortgage Monthly show, sponsored by the fine folks at CU Members Mortgage, we had CU Members Mortgage's very own Rick McLaughlin talking about from refis to purchase money mortgages, where are we now in the process? So check it out. It is this month's installment of Mortgage Monthly, brought to you by the fine folks at CU Members Mortgage. And on today's installment, we have CU Members Mortgage's executive sales consultant, Rick McLaughlin. Rick, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Hey, we're talking today about, because we seem to be kind of on this pendulum right now with, you know, last year was the refi boom because of the low, low rates. And all of a sudden now that pendulum is slowly swinging toward the purchasing money mortgages. And so I'm kind of entitled this talk, From Refis to Purchase Money Mortgages, Where Are We Now? So it seems like we're kind of like, we're in the midpoint or something. Where are we now on this, Rick? I mean, we were just talking before the recording. Where are we now?
Well, this year is still going to be a strong year for refinances, but it's going to be even a better year for the purchase business. And then going to 2022 and 2023, we're going to see that decline in refinances start to happen. So it's really important for people that are in the mortgage business to get re-engaged into the purchase market. It's been such a good refinance situation that, you know, we're just taking what we're getting from refinances because you're not having to work for those deals because the consumer's seeking you out because the rates are so low.
Yeah, we want to refi this house. We want to get that lower payment. So, hey, having said that, so there's a lot of industry talk about nearing the end of the most recent refi boom. So, what are you hearing out there? What's going on in the mortgage community, so to speak, in this area?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. The data experts in the industry are projecting an overall decline in loan volumes. And again, that's going to be the result of fewer refinances. Mm-hmm. However, there's still a lot of homeowners that are going to benefit from this low rate environment. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about rates moving up in the last few weeks, but rates are still really good. I mean, we're talking 3%, and they're projected to be good for quite some time. Now, the refinances, again, they're going to trend down. But the good news is the MBA is projecting a 3.5% increase in purchase volume mm-hmm. for this year. And that's over what we saw in 2020. And 2020 was a good year. Yep. Now, when we get into 2022 and 2023, the MBA is projecting that purchase volumes are going to kind of level off where they were in 2020. But the refinances, you know, they're projected to have a pretty steep decline. Their number now, actually, is they're projecting in 2022 that figure is going to be 70% lower or 77% lower than what it was in 2020.
Oh my gosh. That is quite a drop.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess now would be a good time for credit unions to start looking for ways to support their members' purchase money mortgage needs right now. Is that a kind of a correct assumption?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right now is the perfect time to start building a strategy if you haven't done it already. Mm-hmm. You know, with the volume of blight from refinances, you know, we kind of mentioned it, you can kind of get a little lazy. It's easy for a lender to get used to that volume coming in like it has been. But now you've got to make a shift towards selling your mortgage program. And that means you got to pull the business in. It's even more challenging, you know, as you move in through the market and you get away from the refinance. Mm-hmm. You know, each credit union, though, it's going to be very different. You know, we work with credit unions across the country, and each one has to build a strategy that's right for them. And based on their size, their household, their demographics, really, you know, the advice is just understand what your opportunities are and identify if you have any vulnerabilities out there.
Indeed, indeed. So what's the number one recommendation you have for credit unions right now? Is it obviously driving growth, things like that, or what's the bottom line here?
Well, you have to start by saying credit unions should first and foremost be in the mortgage business. And if mm-hmm. they're not there, they should get there quick. Yeah, with the shift away from refinances, that's going to mean getting good at the purchase money business that's out there. And second, really, is keep it simple. Keep it simple for your staff. Try to use third parties to fill in any gaps that you have. You know, a credit union doesn't have to be an expert in mortgage lending to offer mortgage loans to their members. Bottom line, if you're going to offer purchase money mortgage loans to your members, that's going to be a very good long-term strategy to drive overall growth for your credit union.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Can you explain a little bit more about this strategy? Can you dive in a little bit deeper on that one?
Well, yeah, you bet. I'll throw some statistics at you.
Okay.
There was a recent study done by Forrester Research, and they found that adults use about 8.2 financial products, but they generally only have maybe 2 to 3 with any one institution. And now, according to other industry findings, on average, an account holder that has one product with a financial institution is only going to stick around about 18 months.
Oh, wow.
If you can increase that to 3 or more, that loyalty, that goes up to 7 years.
Good grief. And so so then the mortgage loans, they can help credit unions shore up long-term member loyalty, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, there was another study done several years ago by a leading member-based lender, and they found that members that had an average of 2.5 products, that they're typical member. But if they had a member that had a mortgage, those members had 4+ products. And when you can get to that level, you know, 4 and above, now you can start feeling pretty comfortable about saying that you are your member's preferred financial provider.
Yep.
And that's where credit unions really want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the end all be all goal, is to kind of be that primary financial resource. And so why do you think members have, you know, who have mortgages generally have more products? Is it just it sounds like the mortgage is kind of that foundation for the relationship, and then you can go on to other things? Because gosh, if you think about it, that's a 30-year relationship at least. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way you should look at it. You should look at it as a long-term relationship. And the real benefit comes from that cross-sell opportunity. So you have to recognize that the opportunity is there. I mean, the mortgage application contains more information about your member than any other document that you'll get for any other product or service that you sell. I mean, the mortgage application is data rich. I mean, if you utilize it the way you should, you can identify almost all of the member's financial needs. And then start talking to them about it. I mean, it's a great way to have a conversation on ways that you can deepen the relationship with your member.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. It's a great foundation to have for sure. So when consulting with your partners, what mortgage advice do you typically give a credit union CEO or CLO?
Yep. I'll say it again. It's keep it simple.
Okay.
Really let your staff focus their efforts on member service. And then, you know, I'll kind of, you know, contradict that a bit and tell them, hey, you need to develop a sales culture. But if you're going to do that, make sure you support that culture with lots of training, and make sure that training digs into how to identify a member's needs beyond the current transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you're going to look at that mortgage application, you're going to find out a lot of other information. So just don't file that away somewhere. Use that to have a conversation about other loan needs or other deposit needs and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as part of that whole keep it simple approach, make sure you're utilizing good third parties to help you fulfill the actual products that you're selling. Again, stressing the need, you need to offer mortgage loans. And the biggest reason for that probably is just to keep the member from going to a competitor, because I guarantee you your competitor is going to see that cross-sell opportunity, and you don't want them going down the street, because that competitor is probably going to try to get their deposit accounts, their auto loans, you know, all the other products and services that you're trying to deepen your relationship with
mm-hmm,
your member.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll go on from there and say that, you know, with the shift to purchase loans, you need to build that strategy. And the strategy needs to focus on retaining and attracting borrowers in the borrowing stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to credit unions, quite a few and some smaller ones that talk about, well, we have an aging population. Well, this is a great opportunity to reach out to the millennials, because they're in that borrowing stage.
Yep.
The key, though, you've got to know how to market to them, and you got to have the good technology. They're going to expect an easy solution. You know, technology.
Yeah.
I got to use my phone.
Exactly.
To make this thing happen. And so, again, don't get afraid of that and assume that you've got to be a tech expert, you know, and a marketing expert. There's a lot of great third parties out there that can help fill those gaps.
Yeah, they all want that kind of push the button on my phone experience and boom, I got a house type of experience, which I think we're getting closer and closer to at some point. So, but that's what they're expecting, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, we share with our partners that come on board with us. You know, typically a credit union is going to look at us and say, hey, we need help operationally. You know, we need somebody that can underwrite or process loans or you know, even originate loans for them. And we're happy to do that. But the other things that we provide are you know, those that experience, that online experience that members expect. And, you know, those credit unions we identified a long time ago, that credit unions need help with marketing and technology. Yeah. And so we provide those solutions as
well. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
I think, you know, I guess the last piece of advice there that I always think about is know your member. Mm-hmm. And I think credit unions are hearing that quite a bit right now. You have to be able to mine your data, look for opportunities. And one big opportunity that credit unions that are doing really good in the mortgage business is they have triggers set up. They get trigger reporting to find out when their members start shopping for a mortgage, and they pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they say, "Hey, Mike, I understand that you're shopping for a mortgage right now. You know, we have some great rates. You know, can we talk about that?"
Indeed, indeed. And as you're talking, Rick, I should have asked you this question higher up in the interview, but where are we now? I can't help but think, who's in the driver's seat right now? Is it the buyer or the seller? Because rates are so low that, gosh, the buyers are like, "All right, yeah, we get the super low rate." But then the prices on the homes are increasing because the supply has decreased so much, or the housing inventory, there's a shortage there. So who's in the driver's seat right now? Or are we kind of stuck in between right now?
I don't think we're stuck in between, but there's benefits for both. I mean, you mentioned the low rate environment gives buyers a lot more buying power than they would have in a higher rate environment. And so that can make it easier to get into a home. It can make that payment lower and look much more appealing to own a home and have a mortgage payment versus a rent payment. But I think because of the lack of supply that we have right now, sellers are probably more in the driver's seat.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, we are seeing where in some communities that in order for a buyer to get a home, that they're having to bid above the list price.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so to me, that means it's a seller's market.
Yep.
So if buyers are willing to pay more, now, again, that can be a challenge, because if it goes above and doesn't appraise, then those buyers are going to have some extra cash to cover that difference.
Yeah, it's a sticky situation there. But yeah, it's just interesting to see how the pendulum swings from one side to the other in these crazy economic times. So good stuff, Rick. Anything else here that you want to add to share with credit unions out there on this topic? Because this is certainly top of mind topic for anybody, especially in the lending department at any credit union these days. So yeah. Anything else to share?
Well, I mean, we are talking about purchase money business, purchase money mortgages, and credit unions need to understand that realtors are very important to helping grow the business.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the realtors are the ones that are actually going to drive that decision process for home buyers. And so knowing this is going to give a credit union a couple of options, a couple of things to look at. So, you know, the first thing I recommend is something that credit unions are typically already good at. It's kind of getting in front of the member before they shop. Mm-hmm. And that's doing things like financial counseling, offering home buying seminars. And then when you know that member's ready, you know, get out there and give them a pre-qualification. So now that they've got a little bit more power when they're shopping, now they can get to a realtor and they can let the realtor know, "Hey, I'm already working with my credit union."
Yep.
You know, you don't need to worry about the financing piece. And another step is credit unions should look at creating some relationships with realtors and have those realtors bring the borrowers to the credit union. Ideally, you would like to get new borrowers out of this. You've got the mortgage, you've got all that information. Now you can go through that application and say, "Hey, I see you have an auto loan with GMAC. Let's refinance that. You know, I see you have a credit card here. You know, we've got a great credit card too." So there's those opportunities there. But keep in mind, you know, the realtor, that whole relationship there, those realtors, they have a customer. And that customer is important to them because they know that customer is going to buy another home in the future. And so they want that transaction to go really well. So you've got to be able to make your realtors know that you can make closing dates, mm-hmm. and that you're going to stay in contact, you know, with them. And, you know, from a business development standpoint, you know, you can mine your data for, you know, people that are ready to buy a mortgage, but you can also mine your data and find out, okay, how many members do I have that are active realtors? And just reach out to them and start talking about ways that maybe you can make a mutually, you know, beneficial relationship.
Yeah, because when you get in that kind of that realtor community, man, word spreads like wildfire. Hey, did you see what XYZ Credit Union did for one of my customers? Holy smokes. So yeah, let's use them, you know, that type of thing. So yeah, word spreads like crazy. So you can get those relationships going. Huge. That's huge.
Especially, if you have a great portfolio product, mm-hmm. at the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a credit union the other day, and they have 100% loan-to-value loan that they make to teachers. It's a portfolio loan. You know, that's hard to beat on the market out there, especially if we're talking about the price of homes going up and make it harder to get in. You know, there's some people out there that are going to be a little pinched for that down payment. So if you can do something like that, I mean, you've really got a product that's going to sell. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No doubt. No doubt. Oh, this is fantastic stuff, Rick. So the takeaway is here is have a plan because of the purchase money mortgages coming up. This is have a plan for this, get those relationships going with the realtors, and have that portfolio ready to go. Have a seamless process in place. So folks can get through it really quickly. Anything else, any other things on the docket that we need to take away here?
Yeah. And no, and just again, don't wait until you think you have everything lined up. Like I said, you know, use your member service representatives to make the member have a great experience. And then all that back office stuff that has to happen, you know, outsource that if you can, you know, when it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, if you have the resources and you've got the dollars to carry the payroll for, you know, a tech team and a good marketing team, you know, then great. But if you're not there yet, you know, look for good third parties out there that can, you know, really help you out. Close that gap so you can compete with those big companies out there that are buying Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, exactly. The Super Bowl, for sure. Alrighty, Rich. All right, Rick, thank you so much. Appreciate the time. And keep up the good work there at CU Members Mortgage, okay?
All right, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for attending today's Mortgage Monthly. Stay tuned for the next episode next month. This same channel, same time. we'll see you in 30 days. All right. Be well. Take care. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.